You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you. Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Richard Goldstein of Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, June 2nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that on June 1st, a fuel spill was discovered in the Catskill Creek in Catskill. The Catskill Fire Company reported an approximate 500-foot sheen of fuel on the water near 119 Main Street along the creek in Catskill. The Department of Environmental Conservation spokesperson did not get back to the newspaper in time for their story. The day before, the DEC did have a statement about a different mystery oil in the Hudson River May 28th, saying it was, quote, an apparent petroleum spill causing a sheen on the Hudson River in and around Coxsackie, unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York high school seniors will now receive automatic acceptance to community colleges, Governor Kathy Hochul announced on June 1st. State University of New York Chancellor John King first outlined the plan during his State of the University address this week. Hochul said, quote, my administration remains committed to removing barriers and easing the pathway to higher education for all high school seniors, lifting up students to build a brighter future for themselves and New York, unquote. King said, quote, there is a place for every New Yorker at SUNY, and we are excited to make college an easy decision because our high school seniors and their parents understand their options, unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Noah Zweifel reports in the Altamont Enterprise that Cornell University researchers found that many upstate New York residents don't believe upstate New York is getting a fair shake with the proliferation of solar facilities and is another example of upstaters shouldering the burden of downstaters' needs. The study says, quote, solar energy is usually described as a promising and clean technology and is often touted as a key response to the climate crisis, but the growing trend of developing utility-scale solar sites in rural places highlights how solar can recreate energy production and consumption patterns between rural and urban society, patterns which historically have contributed to spatial inequalities, unquote. The study also found the correlation between political affiliation and opposition to solar farms was insignificant. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. And Wave Farm's Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farm's 29-acre campus in Acre, featuring 13 installations, the study center including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Acre broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farm's International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farm's art park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org. This has been the WGXC Daily News. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 2nd. It's warm summer, so hurricane season has begun. And this one has a low confidence of accuracy. La Nina is expected to show up sometime, likely in early fall. Hopefully that gives us a mild but slightly wet summer. And yes, that is your seasonal prediction. Slightly wet and somewhat mild. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Steventown to 63 up in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 63 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high and trees are the primary offenders. Comfort levels today fall off after 9 a.m. At noon, chances of rain arrive and it's bringing some lightning to launch. Expect randomly stormy conditions all afternoon. We get a high of 89 at 2 p.m. Temperatures drop below 75 by dark, but a dew point in the 60s is going to make things feel a bit muggy. A low temperature of 61 happens just after dawn on Saturday. Light rain continues most of the day, tapering off by 4 p.m. A high of 68 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, stays dry and we get a comfy low of 55 degrees. Sunday will definitely be the better day to get outside. Dry, partly cloudy, high of 72. Monday looks like rain comes back in the afternoon and we get a high of 72. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:02 a.m., low tide at 8:55 a.m., high tide again at 2:25 p.m., and low tide once again for 8:52 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees. We are on a steady incline. And the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m. No, I'm sorry, that is the time for everybody else. Us folk that have to contend with mountains will see the sun go down around 8:10 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see we are still in a minor geomagnetic storm watch. Plasma winds will be slow at 394 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 143, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
This is the Camp Hill Hudson Sports Update. We are here because many of us are following the NBA playoffs, and now it's the NBA Finals that starts. Well, if you listen to this, it started last night. It's the morning hours here on Thursday, and we've got a couple of sports enthusiasts. Myself, Michael.
Kelly.
Myself, Dan.
Yes, and some of us are rooting for the two teams remaining in the NBA playoffs, and that is, Dan, who are they?
They are the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Game one tips off tonight at 8 o'clock.
That means Thursday night, so you might be listening to this Friday morning. Mm-hmm. We have some enthusiasts and predictions. It's a best of seven series. Why don't we go around the room and ask Kelly, who are you rooting for? Who do you think is going to win? How many games?
I have to say the Heat's going to take it all the way through to game seven and win the series in seven games.
Okay. Seven games the Heat will win. Dan?
I got the Nuggets in five.
The Nuggets in five. That is a bold prediction. I'm saying the Nuggets in either six or seven. They will win it. But let's have some fun.
Let's see how accurate our predictions will be for game one. Dan, who do you favor to win game one tonight?
I got the Nuggets winning game one, 96-86, so, yeah. So by 10 points.
Kelly?
I would have to say 200 to 300.
200 to 300?
Wow. Games never got up to that much points before.
Well, I think one time maybe NBA All-Star games got up that high.
Yeah.
I don't have a score prediction. I'm just going to say the Heat will steal game one.
Actually, I take that back. The Heat is going to steal game one.
Yes, they are going to steal and seal game one.
Actually, to be honest, I have a feeling that Novak Djokovic is going to go off tonight. I got Djokovic scoring 45 points, having 10 rebounds, wow. Having 10 rebounds and 17 assists.
Okay, 17 assists. That would be a lot of serving up the rock, as we say. 17. I'll hold you to that, Dan. I'll just say that he will have a good game. That's the center for the Denver Nuggets.
Yes, it is. Thanks for listening.
So there you heard the predictions. The final score was Denver 104, Miami 93. So Denver won by 11 points. Dan called it almost exactly. Dan said that Denver would win by 10 points, and Denver won by 11 points. So tune in next week for more NBA predictions from Dan. That was the Camp Hill Sports Update.
I'm Tom Rowe here in Acre with some of the things on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. You can go there and there's an add an event button. You can add your own event and soon hear people like me reading it on the radio. People around the world seeing it online in the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. Events like Friday, June 2nd, the next Festival of Emerging Artists is at 7:30 p.m. at PS21 in Chatham. Features works by guitarist and composer Yvette Young, 2022 Pulitzer finalist Leheu Lenzilali, and composer and violinist Shea Buford, among others. Saturday, June 3rd, there's a Hikes to Poets Ledge, a hike to Poets Ledge, from the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, June 3rd. It's also Big Truck Day, 10:30 a.m. at the Museum of Firefighting in Hudson. With all sorts of big trucks to see. There are vowel movements Saturday, June 3rd at the Hudson Opera House, Hudson Hall, whatever you want to call it. It's an evening of song from drag artist Pretty LeMay, pianist David Sitowski. East of Berlin continues at the Bridge Street Theater Saturday, June 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and at 2 p.m. on Sunday, June 4th. There's also the traditional Irish music session Sunday, June 4th at the Shamrock House from 2 to 5 p.m. in East Durham. And these events and more are on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Is it everything I wanted? No. But sitting with one house, with a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic president who didn't want to meet with us, I think we did pretty dang good for the American public.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said history was made with the passage of the debt limit spending bill in the House. The legislation raises the debt limit until December 2024 and restrains discretionary spending over the next decade. The bill now heads to the Senate. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said they'd get the bill to President Joe Biden's desk as soon as possible.
Time is a luxury the Senate does not have if we want to prevent default. June 5th is less than 4 days away. At this point, any needless delay or any last-minute holdups would be an unnecessary and even dangerous risk.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell welcomed the debt limit spending bill with its projected $1.5 trillion in cuts, saying it makes the most serious headway in years toward curbing Washington Democrats' reckless spending addiction. McConnell called the level of defense spending disappointing.
So while the coming votes are an important step in the right direction, we cannot neglect our fundamental obligation to address the nation's most pressing national security challenges.
The Senate passed a measure to overturn President Biden's student debt relief program, which aimed to forgive up to $20,000 in student loans for more than 40 million people. Observers say the president is likely to veto the bill, in part because elements of the plan remain under consideration by the conservative-leaning Supreme Court. Democratic Senators John Tester of Montana and Joe Manchin of West Virginia, alongside Arizona Independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema, joined Republicans to cut Biden's proposal. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made his debut as a Republican presidential candidate in Iowa Tuesday, rallying after a glitch-filled launch on Twitter. While DeSantis did not mention former President Donald Trump by name, he intensified his criticism of the former president.
A leadership is not about entertainment. It is not about building a brand. It is not about virtue signaling. Leadership is about producing results for the people that you represent.
On the first day of Pride Month, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes took to Twitter to say it is more important than ever. Elected officials and state offices work to protect and promote the civil rights of LGBTQ plus Arizonans.
I am a supporter and ally, a friend and a family member, and I want to make sure that folks feel good, feel safe, and supported.
According to a new survey by the advocacy group GLAAD, 9 out of 10 heterosexual Americans support LGBTQ plus rights. The organization says it could be a sign the GOP strategy of targeting LGBTQ plus Americans may backfire with voters in upcoming elections. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Wednesday, the Connecticut Senate passed a bill implementing 14 days of in-person early voting, and the state is likely to join 46 other states with an early voting option. The bill now goes to Governor Ned Lamont, who is expected to sign it. Early voting has had a challenging road in Connecticut, starting with a proposed modification of absentee voting rules in 1994. Attempts at allowing voting by mail and no-excuse absentee all failed, in part because the state constitution didn't grant the legislature power to change the manner of voting. In 2014, a constitutional amendment allowing early voting and no-excuse absentee failed 52-48%. Finally, in 2022, voters approved a constitutional measure 61-39%, giving the legislature the power to legislate early in-person voting. The bill passed June 1st codifies that ballot measure. The bill allows for 14 days of in-person early voting before a general election, beginning the 15th of the month prior to the election and ending 2 days before Election Day. It also provides for 7 days of early voting for most state primaries and 4 days for presidential primaries and special elections. Connecticut's actions leave only New Hampshire, Alabama, and Mississippi without early voting options. We have more on early voting, groups taking action, and a sign up for our free daily email at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And, our guests are here. And,
hi.
But come on in, sit here.
Hello. I'm Sila.
This is Dante Puleo.
Yeah.
Nice. And
he likes to say anything that sounds Italian. Are you Italian?
Italian.
We have right. My people happen to be great dancers.
Oh my God.
You ever hear of Edward Villella? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You heard the Czech.
Yeah.
With a real Italian.
Italian?
I think so. wait, there's another guy.
That's a person.
No, he
you
is.
You know, I don't think this is doing our guest justice, unless he's trying to get a tan. It is really...
Well, it's good that they sweat, so they, you know, they're putting them under the hot seat.
Is that what we're doing?
Well, we are now.
That wasn't the plan, but it sort of worked out.
Oh, okay. No.
So, Am is here to tell us about the whole... What's your actual title with the Catspan?
I am the Artistic Associate at the Catspan Cultural
Fancy
Park.
Title.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
Artistic... what did you say? Associate.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of like I had this poetry professor in college who was called a nature poet, and he didn't like that title.
Ooh.
But he said he'd take the adjective as long as he had the noun. And I just like the artistic.
Who was that guy?
His name is Eamon Grennan.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Very
anyway,
good.
Anyway, but yeah, I'm here to talk about Catspan, not his poetry.
Right.
Oh, why not? Okay. Adam, as you know, lives not far from here, but he is.
I didn't know, but thank you for the reminder.
Well, I like to DOS people. As you
I noticed. I noticed.
Ever since I learned that word, I like to do it.
You do it.
I didn't
well.
Give the number of the street.
No, of course not.
I know. But he has brought with him Dante Puleo, who is the artistic director of the Jose Limon
Dance Company.
And your group is the first performers
this summer at the dance part of Katzman, kicking it off. How appropriate for a dance group, right?
Yeah.
Is there like a line of kickers?
You got one of those.
It's hard when we're out in the wilds to use our sound effects.
We can pull them back a little bit, Tom. I feel bad that they're in the sun.
Boy, aren't you the nice person? But I'm not. Okay, move it back.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just like to be a gracious host. I don't know about you.
No, I don't. I couldn't care less about being gracious.
Unbelievable.
So,
is that better?
Yeah. Thank you.
Little bit. No, Mr. Paleo.
How many, they're nighttime performances?
Sort of, right? 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.,
yeah. I'd call that night. Well, you know, it's not dark.
Evening.
Evening. Yeah, like perfect. Evening. Mm-hmm. And are you one of the performers as well, or the choreographer, or both?
No. Neither? I just stand in the back and I tell people what to do.
Oh, like the...
The conductor?
Yeah.
Sort of. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a bit of a shame because Dante, back in the day, was one of the most extraordinary dancers I'd ever seen. But I will say he's brought that to his artistic leadership because the company right now looks stronger than I've ever seen it.
Thank you.
Oh. Now, are these performances that were choreographed by Jose Limon?
They were.
Who is Jose Limon?
Oh, that's a good question.
So Jose Limon was born in Mexico in the early 1900s. He immigrated to the United States as a young person and then moved to New York thinking he was going to be a painter.
Oh.
And then he went to an art show and saw the work that he always wanted to paint and go, well, that's what I thought I wanted to do.
Oh, no.
It's already been done.
Yeah.
So then he was introduced to dance. Then he started dancing. And then his whole artistic... A medium was shaped through movement.
Interesting.
And that's how he came to dance.
Is this your dance company showing up here? Or... No?
Hello.
Not my group.
Okay. Open back there. You can hang out. And if you're really ambitious, you'll come on our radio show at some point.
Hey!
Oh, look at all. Suddenly, people... See, Celia, you show up and everybody else shows up.
I know.
What does that tell you?
I bring the vibe.
Nobody else. You do. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was it. That's it.
So, Limon... fashioned himself an artist who actually is an artist because dance is an art.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So he just shifted.
Yeah, he shifted mediums. He found dance, found movement, and then found the right people to help craft his eye and teach him some of the, just how to shape bodies and bring them into space and move space and move the bodies into space.
Won't be too much.
Oh, yeah.
They're building a stage over there.
Perfect.
So in the future, you can perform right there.
And come on and put a little burlesque on.
I don't know how much space you need for the dance company.
So what kind of dance did Limon start with?
Modern dance.
He was known for modern dance?
Yes. He was one of the greatest performers of his time.
Wow.
And that was during the late...
I'm going to look him up.
Early, 30s and 40s, 1930s and 40s. And then he started making his own work. One of his first solos is what we'll be seeing at Katzplan. It's called Chaconne. And then, his understanding of how to tell stories... And his way to shape bodies through space, I think, were just so fascinating. So the company's been around for 77 years.
It's got great bone structure.
Bone structure.
Wow.
And so the company is devoted solely to the dances that he choreographed?
The work we'll be seeing at Katzplan is two of his works, but the company itself, we're a repertory company.
Okay.
So we do works by Jose Limon, and then we pair the works with commissioned choreographers, emerging acclaimed choreographers, and then those works are in conversation with each other.
Do you feel any obligation that the works you commission or perform sort of correspond to what Jose Limon's aesthetic was?
Maybe not the aesthetic, but thematically.
Well, so, he's got a Limon technique, right?
His Limon technique, correct.
Hey, I could Google too, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta be apart because you just keep talking.
So yes, the dancers study the technique, and they use the technique, which helps them in a variety of forms. It's part of a bigger practice.
It looks like capoeira a little bit. That one little...
With the wood?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Right?
Look at that, yeah.
What?
Right. Go ahead and explain.
I didn't know you were a dance maven.
I don't feel... I have enough information to give you...
So it's a form of Brazilian street fight, but it also encompasses dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, What have you been fighting down in Brazil?
No, I'm going to be fighting you, Tom. I've been practicing to fight you.
So what are the actual details of when and what days you're performing and the times?
Yeah, so tomorrow we kick off, not with a dance performance, but an art opening, because we have an installation in our gallery and across our campus. It's 153 acres in Tivoli, New York.
It's a little risky on Pride weekend, isn't it?
Well, you know...
to have to split hairs. Hello?
Could be part of the event, right?
Go He's this, shipwrecked. Go sorry. Sorry about that.
One can do all the things.
There you go.
You know? And we are also feeling our pride over at Katzpahn. But so tomorrow we have this gallery opening. Lots of nice food and wine and art. That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday at 6 p.m. on our mountain stage, we'll host these performances with the Limon Dance Company and also the American Ballet Theatre Studio Company.
Ooh.
And I think it's a really nice pairing because the Limon Company is bringing these masterworks from the modern dance canon, and American Ballet Theatre Studio Company is bringing some classical works that are some even older than the modern dance, and then some very new and contemporary works.
Nice.
Wow. So it builds a nice sort of
palette.
Yeah.
Dance.
And if people want to get tickets, you can't mention prices, but where do they go?
They go to katzpahn.org. That is KAATSBAAN.org.
Yeah. What is Katzpahn?
It's a mouthful.
What does that word refer to?
It is from the Dutch.
Ah.
One.
Why are you looking at me like that for?
No reason, Tom. Keep going.
Okay. One of the co-founders of Katzpahn about 30 years ago. She is Dutch, and it translates as a playing field.
Mm.
So they were kind of inspired by that idea, and we have these outdoor events, and it felt like a game.
That's cute.
Cool. So there's all kinds of things happening there, and amazingly, I've heard that, tell me, this has to be a rumor, that our own Thursday afternoon show, Celia Graham, is going to be there for something.
I don't think it's a rumor, Tom. It's hard fact.
Oh, hard fact. We're very excited.
Yes.
When you say we, who exactly?
Everyone. Although I can't take credit for creating that panel, we invited Tamar Adler to put together a...
Oh, that explains it. Your BFF.
One of my BFFs.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, you know, Tamar just published this book about...
We had her here.
Okay, great.
Everlasting Meal.
And so, this panel celebrates different cultural traditions around food storing and saving.
That's
and
right.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this one here is mentioned in the book.
Unbelievable.
That's right, folks. Celia Graham is mentioned in Tamar Adler's new cookbook. Okay? Have I done it justice now?
I don't know. You keep talking.
Okay. So you've curated the whole dance program.
That's right.
And how many...
In conversation with other members of the team,
right.
But...
Right, and how many different groups are coming in?
Yeah, so we're serving up 3 weekends of world-class art, dance, film, music, and more. Is mm-hmm. How I like to describe
That's
it.
That's right, and more.
And so, yeah, week one features this art opening and these dance performances with the Limon Company, an ABT studio company.
Nice.
Week two, we have the acclaimed string quartet Ethel, along with the wild violinist Curtis J. Stewart, who just won his third Grammy nomination. Saying. And also that weekend, we have a dance performance featuring the Trisha Brown Dance Company.
Oh, yeah.
Along with New Jersey Ballet and an up-and-comer named Roderick George, who I think is really somebody to watch. And week three, we're featuring a panel of local dancers and choreographers, which is going to be very exciting, in collaboration with Hutsi TV, great organization. And
a new... include you?
Well, I'll be moderating the panel. So in a way, yes. Although the three dancers are Ralph Mvore from Newburgh, who's a very cool hip-hop artist, a flamenco dancer, Anna Labrada George, who runs Hudson Valley Flamenco Festival.
Mm, that sounds cute.
And Livia Vannevar, who, she's sort of a Hudson Valley folklorico staple.
Love her. Interesting.
Some other cute things. We're slipping in a walk that Wild Gather is leading, because we have this big, beautiful campus, and we would just love to kind of help people explore it more thoroughly. And finally, we have performances which were a collaboration between Emily Coates and Emmanuel Fouan.
who are both wildly talented dance makers. And that'll be cool. It's half in our indoor theater, half outdoors. And it weaves together traditional Cambodian dance, astronomy, ecology, in ways that are hard to describe, but I think will make for a fascinating show.
And
yeah, I want to get more of our Hudson peeps down there, so I'm so grateful for you having us on.
Where is it exactly?
So Tivoli, New York, you can get there. It's like a 15-minute drive down 9G.
Did you say 15?
15, 1-5.
Okay.
Very close.
Yeah, I get you.
Okay. You can also get more there like by boat. Hour. Or
yeah,
did you say half hour?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I drive slow.
You're more than slow, honey. It's about 15 minutes.
But you know, so Katzbahn for many years was primarily like a residency space where artists would come to develop new work.
That's right.
It wasn't so much a public-facing organization. So even though it's been around for 30 years, I talk to so many people who don't even know it's there.
Right.
So I feel like a part of what I'm excited about is
opening it up. That's right.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like one of the things that this area is happy to do and see is that people are opening up. They're showcasing, they're offering space and walks. All these things are all happening. It's so nice.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Adam Weinert, who's the associate.
The artistic associate
of Katzbahn. And Dante Paleo, who's the artistic director of the Jose Limon Company, who will be the first performers at Katzbahn starting tomorrow night.
The first performance is on Saturday at 6 p.m. And you can get your tickets.
Which is June 3rd.
June 3rd and 4th.
June 3rd. Good. That's good. Quick.
Yeah, Katzbahn.org.
Nice.
Katzbahn.org.
From his 2023 album Wronger, here is Hudson's Tommy Stinson with Here We Go Again.
One, two, three, four. Jumping off this roller coaster, let's find out where the exits are before we get any closer. Do we go again? Throw out your rusty pen to your old gun holster. You've been riding long enough, you could have had it reupholstered. But get yourself a new cool gun, I mean, it might stick a little longer. Stupid song, forget about buffoonery, copyrights in perpetuity. Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Wednesday, May 31st, was a busy day down at the state capitol. In part one of our coverage, we heard from climate activists, some dressed as dinosaurs, protesting at National Grid's electrification conference at the Renaissance Hotel across from the Capitol. Here, in part two, we catch the end of a press conference on the Clean Slate criminal justice reform, followed by the Housing Justice for All rally on tenants' rights and good cause eviction. We first hear from the MC at the Clean Slate news conference, introducing Assemblymember Maritza Davila. Then Katie Schaefer of the Center for Community Alternatives talks to me about an overview of the Clean Slate Act, which seeks to help increase employment for ex-offenders by writing clean their record.
Bring together criminal justice advocates. Uh-huh. What bill brings together the business council?
Yes.
What bill brings together labor unions?
Come on.
This is an economic justice issue. This is a criminal justice issue. This is about the dignity of our families and our communities. And I stand with you each step of the way, because clean slate
can't wait.
Clean slate
can't wait.
Assemblywoman Davila.
Waiting for years to be able to pass Clean Slate, as well as the elderly parole bill, which
yes.
I sponsor.
Yes, yes.
And year after year, we've been told the same thing. My sister here has been fighting for criminal justice reform, and we thank you for doing that.
Yes.
This is why these people are here. But let us not be fooled.
Uh-oh.
People want to act like they don't know nobody in prison.
Oh, that's the way they act.
Like they don't have family in prison.
Tell them.
They don't have anybody on drugs. Stop hiding. You cannot throw that rock and hold your hand behind your back.
I just want to ground everybody to remember, Clean Slate is an economic bill.
Yes, it is.
It is a housing bill.
Yes, it is.
It is a community safety bill.
Yes, it is.
And more importantly, it is a family bill.
Yes, it is.
As we restrict parents from access to life-saving resources, we restrict their children's.
Yes.
This becomes a generational prison that locks people in this cycle of perpetual punishment.
Come on, bro, tell them.
Pass Clean Slate now. And do for the community what you say you're trying to do. And keep us all safe. We're done with the fear monger. We can read between the lines. And we know Clean Slate is what will make this city work, this state work. And we want Clean Slate as a community. We all are asking for it. Pass Clean Slate now.
Clean Slate!
Katie Schaefer, I'm the Director of Advocacy and Organizing at CCA, Center for Community Alternatives. The Clean Slate Act would end the perpetual punishment for 2.3 million New Yorkers who face barriers to jobs, housing, and education because of old conviction records. These are folks who are trying to do the right thing, trying to support themselves and their families, and face discrimination as they try to access basic life essentials. The Clean Slate Act would allow people to access jobs, to access housing, and to access education.
Now, this has picked up a lot of support across the board, including from a lot of the business community. Why can't it get across the finish line, especially the Democrats controlling both houses?
It both can and will get across the finish line. We expect the legislature to pass it in the next week. As you named, there is unprecedented support for the bill, and we think we're going to get it done now.
What can people do at this point if they want to sort of persuade some of their elected officials?
New Yorkers should call your senators and your assembly members and the leadership of the Senate and Assembly.
And is there a website for people who want more information?
www.cleanslateny.org.
The second event was organized by Housing Justice for All, with the key focus on the Good Cause Eviction Act. The City of Albany, due to the work of groups like United Tenants, have passed the Good Cause Eviction Law, but the courts blocked it, saying that state legislation was needed in order to authorize it. The proposed legislation seeks to protect tenants against unreasonable eviction and regulates the level of rent hikes. We first hear from the MC, who introduces an East Asian tenant from Queens who outlines her problems as a tenant. We also hear from Assemblymember Tony Simone, a representative of the Flatbush Tenants Coalition, and Senator Jessica Ramos. Later in the day, the Post reported that assembly members came under fire from tenant activists, throwing roughly 24 paper airplanes from the chamber's front balcony. The Democratic-controlled assembly has increasingly become the graveyard in recent years for progressive legislation.
Only 7 days left in this legislative session to pass good cause. Tenants at threat of eviction or high rent increases that are effectively eviction notices need good cause passed right now. Yeah. Kuwaiti tenants across the state are being evicted every single day. Yeah. Homelessness numbers have escalated more than a third this past year. Yeah. We are in a crisis situation.
Yes.
A great thing in 2019 when we passed the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act that saved rent-regulated housing. Yes. However, I'm going to quote another senior citizen like myself by the name of Joe Biden, who sits in the White House. And here's the quote. Get it done. Finish the job, y'all. Speaker is Nahar from Drum and her interpreter, Nipa.
My name is Nahar. I'm a Drum member. Last one year, I'm suffering in a housing crisis. 1 year, I'm suffering from without heat. You know, in this winter, I did not get any hot water, any heat, anything. So I passed through the last year this way. Get support from 911, 311. They did not respond right away. But after 1 week, they came and visit and they just go away. They did nothing. I filed a case, but before that, Drum and other organization did a protest in front of my house, also Housing Justice for All, and there are some few organizations was there, but the landlord did not care. After that, I went to court and I filed a case, even though there is no caring and the landlord did not care anything, does not care.
Next speaker is Assembly Member Tony Simone.
Housing is a human right. Yeah. We must not only create housing to make it affordable for every New Yorker, we must protect tenants.
That's right.
The real estate industry would make you believe this would cause so much chaos to protect tenants. They would ruin the real estate industry. We all know that's bullshit. Look at the other city and states who enact a good cause. The real estate industry is just fine. You can still evict folks if they have a good cause. Exactly why we call it good cause. But you know what? There needs to be more will in our leadership to pass this. Stop listening to all the fearmongers that this would affect real estate and home prices and rental prices. I have constituents that call me every week that say their rent went up 100, 200%.
Will Bean Fidele from the Flatbush Tenants Coalition.
Each and every one. We prepared to fight, right? Because we're getting good cause passed. My name is Fidel Albert. I am a resident of Brooklyn, and I'm a tenant leader with Flatbush Tenant Coalition, Met Council, and Housing Justice for All. I'm here today to tell the state legislature that we need good cause. No one should be evicted and harassed from their home for no reason. That's why that is what is happening right now. I've been living in an apartment where I shared with an abusive leaseholder that is ugly like sin, if anybody knows what sin looks like.
Who needs no introduction? Is Senator Jessica Ramos from Queens.
Hey, Senate 2 for far too long. I've been told here in Albany that we can't tax billionaires because we're scared they're going to flee the state. And every day, the stories I hear is of New Yorkers, regular working class New Yorkers, who feel that they have to leave our state because they can't afford to live here anymore. And on top of that, the real estate industry takes advantage of that, takes advantage of workers not understanding their rights, not having enough protections, and evicting them without a good reason, without good cause. So I'm just here to say, I'm ready to vote for good cause.
This has been Mark Dunlight for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that Chatham schools are among a half dozen school districts that have purchased 17 electric school buses with the help of a Federal Environmental Protection Agency rebate program, part of the infrastructure law passed earlier this year in Congress. EPA Regional Administrator Lisa Garcia on May 31st said, and I quote, "Protecting our kids and tracking the climate crisis is a win-win. Transitioning away from dirty diesel and toward clean electric buses is a smart investment in our children's future," end quote. Chatham Central School District is getting 5 buses. The EPA in April announced another round of the Clean School Bus Grant Program, so more electric buses could be on the way. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that the city of Hudson wants a few volunteers for its new Public Works Board. The new commission would recommend an annual budget and schedule sidewalk construction or repairs in the Sidewalk Improvement District. The Common Council votes on those recommendations. The new board will also provide public oversight of the new Sidewalk Improvement District. Mayoral aide Michael Hoffman said, and I quote, "It's important to have a new board like this to basically be responsible for public oversight for work that happens in the city. We want to get the work done as quickly and efficiently as possible," end quote. 2 community members, one appointed by the Common Council and the other by Mayor Kamal Johnson, will be on the board, along with the Public Works Commissioner, the Americans with Disabilities Coordinator, and one member of the Common Council. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that the Catskills Sprayground Committee will turn Elliott Park into a water park if the committee can raise enough money. The Catskills Sprayground Committee says it is one-third of the way to raising the funds necessary to build a new splash pad for water play at Elliott Park. Cultivate Catskill and Fortnightly Club of Catskill members Brenda Vandermark, Terry Weiss, Lisa Leon Bears, Michelle Pulver, and Robin Smith are raising the money. Cultivate Catskill member Pulver said, and I quote, "We'd like to build the spray ground so it gives Catskill residents the opportunity to cool off and have some fun in the water," end quote. The story and the social media page for the Catskill Sprayground Committee does not say exactly how much more the group has to raise. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Saturday, showers are likely mainly before 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 65 degrees. And on Saturday night, a chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 49 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
My very dear, dear deceased friend, Chris Newman, off his Unmasters American Songs of Hope and Distress. Here's Dirty Overalls. The Dirty Overalls. The Woody Guthrie cover.
Shells are falling, the war clouds, they rambled as they roared. I was a soldier in the fight, and I fought until we won. My uniform's my dirty overhaul. This piece of land that I stand on is my battlefield and home. My plow and my hoe is my gun. Clothes don't make no difference at all. We are workers, fighters all, marching in our dirty overhaul. Sweat and I'll give you my blood. I'll give you your bread and your wine. Before I be any man's slave, I'll be rotting down my grave and lay me down my dirty overalls. Seems so onerous to me, this blatant thievery, stretching out its wicked, crooked hands. Well, we're settled here to stay, and we'll stick here all our days, marching in our dirty overalls. Shells have fallen, the war clouds, they ramble as they roar. I was a soldier in that fight, and I fought until we won. My uniform's my dirty overalls. This piece of land that I stand on is my battlefield at home. My plow and my hoe is my gun. Clothes don't make no difference at all. We are workers, fighters all, marching in our dirty overalls.
You know, it's not as much fun to write political songs anymore.
You still knowing
it's going to stop going so crazy, you just don't want to sing about it. But they did say that Mussolini said the best way to kill a chicken is to pluck one feather at a time. Hop in the truck, let's go to Hudson. Just to check the sights and see people here from the city and their newest gadgetries. Guys are scrolling on their iPhones, ladies strolling down the street. Wonder bar for beer and whiskey, work our way down Warren Street. Spotty dogs at books and art supplies. I'm reading, drinking at the bar, drinking pints, I'm kind of hammered. I left the place to find your car. Later on, we're at Highland. Make me something special. Can't seem to make this whole thing start. Later on, I'm at the red dot. Elbow my way up to the bar. Cassandra, make me something special. Can't seem to make this whole thing start. Now we're out laughing in the alleys. I guess we are just who we are. We trip, we slip, we fall, we stumble. Don't know why, but here we are. Now we're out laughing in the alleys. I guess we are just who we are. We trip, we slip, we fall, we stumble. Drop out from the start. hours. We are laughing in the hours. I guess we are just who we are. The chip is slick before we stumble. Don't know why, but here we are. Thank you.
That was local artist Chris Neumann performing at High Low in Catskill on February 2nd, 2019.
Shots ring out and those blue lights. Not a drop of blood in sight. Sounds coming through the sound might give you a sense of a sound.